Gilbert and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5. The Game Fireball Hot Take Friday. USA Today has made their NFL predictions. They've got Tampa Bay over Cleveland in the Super Bowl. Caroline, what do you think of that?
Tampa Bay beating the Cleveland in the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Cleveland's not going to the Super Bowl.
Okay, why? Why?
I think in the AFC, I just don't see Cleveland going to the Super Bowl. I think that in the AFC, you're looking at Kansas City and Buffalo over Cleveland.
Okay, so I kind of disagree with that too, but I will say this. Every year is never like the year before it.
Correct.
Like I think I saw the SEC standings came out, you know, the predicted SEC media order of finish. And I think the East is exactly what it was last year, or it's something like that. And it's never going to be that way. Like, I don't think Tampa Bay repeats in the Super Bowl. Tom Brady's greatest quarterback of all time. You know how many times he's repeated in his career?
Like twice.
Once. One time in his career, he repeated as a Super Bowl champion. That's it. Like, that is how hard it is to win the Super Bowl. Yeah, so I don't look at it. I think the last team to repeat were the Patriots, and I think the Broncos were the last team with John Elway before that. That's how long it's been. Repeating is hard. So I don't know what my official predictions will be. Those will come up. But USA Today has posted their official predictions, as I told you there. The Titans, meanwhile, according to USA Today, finished 12-5 in the AFC South. In fact, they're better, way better than the rest of the division. They've got the Colts at 9-8. So the Titans at 12-5 cruise to the second seed in the AFC. That sounds pretty good, right?
That's the nicest prediction I've heard for the Titans. It Colin Cowherd good. Was flip-flopped with the Colts.
Here's the problem.
Oh.
He's got the Titans, USA Today, losing to the Chargers in the first round of the playoffs. So if the Titans are the two seed in the new 7-team NFL conference or wild card weekend playoffs, the Chargers would be the 7th team out of the AFC West in the AFC, and the USA Today prediction has the Titans losing in the first round in the wild card round. And let me say this. First of all, I get nervous when I read this prediction, and here's why. You know, normally everybody has predictions. Normally I don't care about them. You brought up Colin Cowherd, his predictions. I mean, come on now. But here's what he writes. Quote, with the exception of the Bucs, perhaps no team projects as a more prohibitive favorite to win its division. I'd argue the Chiefs, but that's neither here nor there. An offense upgraded by the acquisition of wide receiver Julio Jones has understandably garnered the offseason attention. But a defense will have to deal with the NFC West, and its quarterbacks better step up because after being lackluster last year, the Titans will face one 2020 playoff team over the season's final 8 weeks. So here's why I think the Titans are going to run away with the division. One, in Indianapolis, they have one of the lowest vaccination rates, if not the lowest vaccination rate in the NFL. Number two, their left tackle Eric Fisher is coming off of an Achilles tear, and they don't have a viable option to replace him. Three, their quarterback Carson Wentz is coming off of one of the more disappointing seasons, maybe in recent memory for any big-time quarterback, but really has not lived up to his billing in Philadelphia, and there are character questions and makeup questions that affect Wentz as well. And then finally, they lost to Nico Autry, and the Titans got him. So unless Quiddy Pay and Deo Odengbo are the difference makers for Indianapolis as drafted in the first and second rounds, the Colts have a giant hole to fill that will help aid the Titans this season. Now, this is where I get concerned. I completely agree with that take. Now, later next week, we will make our official record predictions on the Titans, where we'll go over the games that they will win, should win, will lose, should lose, in the toss-up games, as we've always done this show. But I think the Titans are going to comfortably stroll into the playoffs this upcoming season. I agree with him. I think that's a really solid take. It is not the generic hot take TV guy take. It's also not the, well, look at that offense, Julio Jones, they're going to score 80 points a game. It wasn't that take either. It was Indianapolis has their issues. The schedule is somewhat nice and favorable for the Titans. And then he brings what I am the most afraid of, which is once it gets tough in the playoffs, just like last year, the Titans will falter. TD brought this up yesterday and said he didn't know if it was luck, but the Titans won a lot of close games last year. Ryan Tannehill led the league in fourth quarter comebacks and game-winning drives. But when you think about it, you know who those game-winning drives were against? Denver, Jacksonville, Minnesota, twice against the Texans. Those are bad teams. He did orchestrate a game-winning drive or a game-tying drive against the Steelers, and they missed a field goal, so there is that to his credit. But those are bad teams. They played Cleveland last year. Their defense was so bad, once they dug themselves a 17-0 hole, they couldn't get out of it. They dug themselves a huge hole on the road on Sunday Night Football at Green Bay. Couldn't dig themselves out of it. They needed a fourth quarter comeback and a game-winning drive from Ryan Tannehill against the Ravens in the playoffs, and he threw an interception to Marcus Peters. I am very worried. Again, not every season is going to be like the season before it, so I am not one to believe that because this is what happened last year, that this is what's going to happen this year. But I am worried about the idea that the Titans are far superior to their division, which would allow them to make the playoffs with relative ease, but would give us and maybe them a false sense of security going into those playoffs that they can play with anybody. Confidence is a hell of a drug, but it can really hurt when you go into the NFL playoffs. I am worried that we are looking at a team that is good enough to make the playoffs, and not only that, good enough to cruise into the playoffs, but with a defense that's not good enough to win in the playoffs. And we had Corey Curtis from News 2 on earlier today, and he said this is a team that will be judged by what they do in the playoffs. This is the unfortunate element about sports if you're a head coach or a general manager. And that is that if you've never made the playoffs and then you make the playoffs, you're the greatest general manager or coach since sliced bread. If nobody's expecting you to make the Super Bowl and you go, you're coach of the year. But when the expectations are, well, we made the playoffs last year, we should do better than that. Or we went to the AFC Championship game 2 years ago, we should do better than that. That's when it gets complicated. People seem to forget this. The Nashville Predators hung a banner in 2017. They hung a banner in 2018 when they won the President's Trophy. And they also hung a banner in 2019 when they won the Central Division, something that they had only done once the year before in 2019. 3 years in a row, they hung a banner. As soon as the calendar flipped to 2020, Peter Laviolette was fired. Isn't that kind of crazy? You go 20 years with a franchise, no banners, you put three up in a row, don't like the first half of the season, gone. That's how expectations affect sports. And that's how they affect teams. And we are now in the stage, fairly or unfairly, to Robinson and Vrabel. They will assume, probably tell you unfairly, but fairly or unfairly to them, we are at a point whereas the Titans are concerned, this is a playoff team. Their results in the playoffs will determine whether or not they had a good season. 13-4, number two seed in the AFC, lose at home in the playoffs to the worst team to qualify, Pittsburgh or Cincinnati or Indianapolis or the Chargers or the Broncos, that's a bad season. And I do worry about this team and their ability to play against other good teams this year. But I agree with the USA Today writer that I think the Titans will cruise to the playoffs in that division this year.
I think so too, and I think that that was one big misconception with the, I don't want to say misconception, but maybe just the Colts being overinflated this year because of Carson Wentz. Mm-hmm. And Carson Wentz is a quarterback that I am just not high on. And I don't think anyone should be high on him because it is not 2017. In terms of Titans expectations, I don't necessarily expect the Titans to go deep into the playoffs. I don't necessarily expect the Titans to go to the AFC Championship. I expect them to win the division.
Do you expect them to end up in the second weekend of the playoffs? Do you expect them to do better than they did last year?
Yes. So yes, I do expect them to go at least further than the first week of the playoffs.
Why?
Because with the
Are you saying that they just have to do better than they did last year, or do you think that they are essentially a top four team in the AFC?
Well, I think that they, I think with the assets that the Titans have added to this team, with the changes that they have made to this team, you should expect more from this team than you did last year.
So if they go, as the USA Today writer predicts, if they go 12-5 and they lose to the Chargers, who would be the seventh seed, because the Titans would be the two seed, Kansas City would be one. They lose to the Chargers in the first round of the AFC playoffs at home. You would say bad season, and we'd be mad at Robinson and Vrabel.
No, I'm not going to say bad season. I would say I would expect more from the Titans considering the amount of money that they've pushed toward new assets for this team. But people are really high on the Chargers this year. People are expecting the Chargers to go pretty far. And I think it also depends how this season turns out, how maybe potentially a first-round loss would end up. Do you get blown out by Justin Herbert and the Chargers, get absolutely embarrassed? That's one thing.
Well, you didn't get embarrassed by Lamar Jackson and the Ravens last year, and I'm not sure a lot of us felt great about how the season ended. Now, I still think
we
say good season because they did win the division for the first time since my freshman year of college. But
you don't feel great about that Baltimore game.
I feel terrible about it.
Yeah.
I feel terrible. The Titans blew that game. Now, they would have gotten
crushed. Yes, that's what I'm saying.
They would have gotten embarrassed the next week at Buffalo because they weren't as good as Buffalo, and that defense was terrible.
But they didn't get the opportunity to get embarrassed.
Titans played terribly against Buffalo, or against the Ravens. That was an awful playoff game that leaves a really bad taste in my mouth. But, yeah, no, I think that we look at the Titans. I mean, I think this is a team that they will be judged by the playoffs this year. The playoffs are the expectation this year. Not making the playoffs would be catastrophic if the Titans don't make the playoffs.
Oh, if the Titans do not make the playoffs, do you think someone gets fired?
I think somebody should. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Again, USA Today picks the Titans 12-5, winning the AFC South very comfortably and drilled in the first round by Kansas City. Boom. Or excuse me. The Los Angeles Chargers, see ya, goodbye. Is that good enough? Is that good enough for the fans? 615-737-1025. I mean, we got fans. We got hockey fans that were okay with getting bounced in the first round by Carolina, and yeah, you know, so who knows what that means for this, for the football team. 615-737-1025. Stillman & Company, we're delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESP at 1025, the game.
Mike, with this wrapping up the offseason program, you've had so many new faces coming in on defense and some guys that are still recovering from situations. How is the defense in comparison to where you'd like it to be at this point of this offseason?
It's tough to make any comparisons year to year, Teresa. So, you know, we're at from training camp. But, you know, we got some guys that are out there. And, you know, hopefully we get 11 out there every time. I understand there's going to be moving parts throughout the season. You know, that's kind of where we're at. You know, a lot of this has been good for us, been getting some work in the red zone and in third down, those critical situations that we have to improve at.
There you go. That was Mike Vrabel. Training camp starts next week. USA Today predicting 12-5, number two seed in the AFC, but they lose in the first round of the playoffs. Caroline, I don't think it's good enough. Do you have a thought or do you want to go to the phone?
To the phones.
Phones we go. 615-737-1025. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Angel has been waiting patiently and will kick us off. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Angel.
Hey, what's going on, Jerry? Long time listener. Got my season tickets ready to go, and I'm excited. I think 12-5 is okay. Not going to get ahead of ourselves. You know, we we kind of always play the underdog role, but getting bounced in the first round, that can't happen. It's going to just depend on defense and injuries, really. Offense is going to be good. Losing Jonnu hurt. I'm going to hang up and listen.
Thank you for your call, Angel. I would argue this. There's so many different factors that really play into it. To be realistic, injuries is certainly right there at the top of the list. Because if you lose a big name, then all of a sudden it changes everything. You lose Tannehill, you know what I mean? It just changes everything. But, knock on wood. But the only question mark I have about the offense is Todd Downing. Now, I feel fine because I almost feel like if you explained to me what the plays were, like if you gave me the play sheet and you said, okay, these are our second down plays, our third and long plays, our, you know, how the play sheet is divided like a Waffle House menu. If you gave that to me and I got to sit up there in the booth and I had an idea of what these plays were, I feel like I could kind of do it. Like, I know this is going to sound crazy, but like, if you're told, okay, hey, these are the 10 plays on second and short, and it's second and three, and you call into the headset, and you're, you know, some bum like me, and you're sitting there, and you're like, all right, 22, Bob, dig right, Eagle Queen. Like, you just read it off the thing. Mm-hmm. Tannehill's going to hear that. Now, Tannehill, we know, checks out of plays all the time. So Tannehill's going to hear that, and then that's a second down play, and then if he needs to check out of it, he can. Like, I think it's going to be fine. Like, and that's if it's me, some bum. If it's Downing, who's was there last year, who's called plays before, who knows what that's like, I mean, he really has to suck to screw this up. I mean, he's really got to be terrible in order to screw up the offense if things go to plan and people stay healthy. So I would agree with the caller. Here's my thing. 12-5. Is 12-5 the same as 12-4? Or is it the same as 11-5? And I don't know yet. Like, how I feel about a record. Because I've always thought in the NFL, elite is 13-3 and better. If you are 13-3 and or better, really 12-4 is right there on the cusp. If you're 12-4, 13-3 with two byes in a normal, you know, how it used to be 2019 season, now there's only one bye, but 13-3 should be good enough to get you by. 13-3 should be good enough to get you the one of the two seeds, you win your division, you're in the playoffs, you get a bye. The 99 Titans were 13-3. Jacksonville was 14-2. So the Titans were a wild card. They got to host a game because that was before when it was three divisions, not four. They hosted a game. They went on the road the rest of the playoffs. But they were a Super Bowl caliber team, 13-3. That is 13-4 a Super Bowl caliber team? Is 13-4 the new 13-3? Or is 13-4 the new 12-4? And I don't know how that's going to feel this year in the league.
I lean toward the wins because that's how generally you identify a season is, oh, we had a 10-win season. We had a 13-win season. But I think when it ultimately comes down to it, and this is a much more difficult and complex way to do it, you have to look at the schedule and break down, okay, this is a win, this is a loss, this would be a win, this would be a loss, and almost like come up with a system of, if this was a 16-game season, if this current schedule is condensed to a 16-game season, what is the average of what the wins and losses would be?
Elijah, what do you think? What is a 12-5 season to you with a new 17-game schedule?
Ooh, it's tough. The context of how they get there, I think, is going to be really important, too. Like, if you're 12-4 and you're resting starters and then get pummeled in that last game, I think you're at the top of the AFC just because the AFC is so loaded this year. A little different in the NFC because while it's a little top-heavy, the middle, the conference, just isn't that good. So if the Titans go like 12-4 in this year, or this AFC, and then maybe sit some starters and lose that last game of the season, I'd say you've reached a goal. I mean, that's a good 12-5. Now, if you go
like, is 13-4 is 13-4 the new 13-3?
Ooh, I think so. Just because that extra week's gonna really throw a curveball, especially if you have like injury problems starting in like week 11 or 12. And having to start manage those, it's going to be a lot more difficult. But I mean, I think if you're 13-4, you win your division, and I think that's going to get you a top 2 or 3 seed.
I think you're allowed to get the benefit of the doubt with an extra game. That's an extra week.
So we should assume every team will lose the extra game. Now we know that half the teams will lose the extra game, and the other half will win. But we should assume that you so. See, here's where I disagree, though. I think the new 8-8 is 9-8. I think 9-8 is the new 8-8.
Well, because 8-8 is like, all right, you're at 500.
Yeah. Like, 8-8 is a very standard record
because
in the NFL. You will not
make
the playoffs.
You can no longer go 500. But 7-8 is a losing season.
But, like, you have no shot of making the playoffs in the NFL at 8-8 unless it's one of those just wildly reckless, awful seasons where your division's so trash, like the NFC East last year. That can get you into the playoffs at 8-8. But it's got to be like a special, extraordinary circumstance that gets you into the playoffs at 8-8. Whereas I would counter with 9-7, you've got a shot to make the playoffs at 9-7. Now, I think 9-8, you probably don't make the playoffs. 10-7 probably is the end of the making the playoffs number.
I think the two extremes on this spectrum, when you're looking at good and bad, if you're 13-4, if you're 15-2,
sure,
like that's just good. Whether you're 13-4, whether you're 13-3, if you're 1-15, that's just as bad as 1-16. You're not a good team. When you're looking into the nitty gritty of things, when you're looking at 9-8, or you're looking at, you know, 8-9, whatever it may be, that's when it gets a little bit more difficult. But I think when you look at it at the opposite end of the spectrum, it's the same. 9-8 to me, that's an even season. I know that's not mathematically correct, but that is an even season. If you go 8-9, that's a losing season. I don't view that the same way.
Go to the text. Text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caroline, what's in there?
Ben texts into the text line and says, to expect to cruise to a divisional title when Indy has arguably a better roster, including 6 All-Pro players from last year, would be a mistake. And Wentz doesn't have to be 2017 Wentz to provide what they need at the quarterback position.
I disagree.
I do too.
I mean, I don't see how Indianapolis... I mean, yes, okay, great, you've got a good guard. Okay. Like, that's not... This is the thing with Chris Ballard, and... You talked about Colin Cowherd. I didn't see what he said, but I know Colin Cowherd well enough to know once Colin believes something like, Frank Reich is a great coach and Chris Ballard is a great general manager, he's going to believe that for forever. Mm-hmm. Like, that's now, he's believed it, and he doesn't have to watch an Indianapolis game, but he's going to believe that. Their All-Pro players are guard, middle linebacker, you know, the positions that you usually don't draft, like the premium positions. Who's the left tackle? Oh, he's coming off of an Achilles tear. That's an important position. Who are the corners in Indianapolis? Do we remember Rock Ya-Sin last year against the Titans? It wasn't very pretty. Quarterback. Those are the positions. Pass rusher. They drafted in the first round. Now look, Buckner's good. Nelson's good. Leonard's good. Jonathan Taylor's good. Mm-hmm. But the premium positions are where Indy lacks. I think Wentz does have to be a big-time factor, because if not, everyone's going to load the box against Jonathan Taylor. People have a hard time understanding this, because everyone thinks that Phillip Rivers was bad last year, when in reality, Phillip Rivers was above average. There's a chance Wentz isn't as good as Rivers was last year. Now what? I'm not a huge believer in Indianapolis. I'm not saying that Indianapolis is for sure going to be bad, but I don't see it. I do not see Indianapolis, and I don't see them having anywhere better than last year where they were 11-5. I can see them being the same. I can't see them being better than they were last year.
Well, when you break down position groups, you look at quarterback, would you rather have Carson Wentz or Ryan Tannehill?
I'd rather have Tannehill.
Wide receivers, would you rather have Julio Jones and A.J. Brown or T.Y. Hilton and whoever
Michael
else?
Pittman Jr.
Michael Pittman Jr.
I'd rather have the Titans.
Jonathan Taylor, Derrick Henry.
That's probably a toss-up because Taylor's pretty good, but I'll go with Henry.
Taylor's pretty good. I will give them that.
I mean, Taylor, here's the thing. We don't know when Derek hits the back nine. Mm-hmm. We don't know when that's going to be.
Jonathan,
we know
Taylor's
on
the bigger upside. Yeah.
In fact, I would argue that Taylor is kind of like Henry. He was a bad boy in college, second-round pick, good offensive line. Like, I fear that Jonathan Taylor could be like Derek Henry. But I hear what you're saying. Yeah. I agree. I agree completely. I also think, you know, Reich needs a little, win a little bit more. What else we got?
Another texter texts into the text line and says, my computer is glitching, and says, no way Tennessee cruises to the division. I believe they win the AFC South, but we can't discount the defense Indianapolis has and the potential of Wentz to find 2018 success behind that offensive line and Frank Reich.
When did Frank Reich become this great coach?
Everyone loves Frank Reich.
Like, I think he's fine. I think
everyone
coach.
Sees the potential in Carson Wentz that I just don't see.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, here's what I don't get. In the NFL, at that position, how many guys have gotten the bad teammate label and played through it at that position? Now, there are guys that people doubted, but Drew Brees, when he was in San Diego and then went to New Orleans, never had the bad teammate label. Ryan Tannehill in Miami never had the bad teammate label. He had the wife of a defensive player in Miami go on Twitter and say that he sucks, and he had to deal with that, and people thought that he sucked, but he never had the bad teammate, bad leader label. In the NFL, how many guys have had that label and been able to play through it at that position? And I just, Wentz is, he's got to do that. Nobody talks about the Detroit Lions and says, if Jared Goff is 2019 Jared Goff, then they're cooking. Nobody talks about that. And what did I miss there? But that's certainly a situation. 615-737-1025 is our phone number on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Headlines with Caroline is coming up next. 615-737-1025. We'll hit the headlines there to see what is up. Stillman and Company, I have a very important thing to tell all of the fine folks out there. And as you know, it's very, very important here on this.
Very important. We don't tell the people things that aren't important.
No, join 102.5 The Game tomorrow from 5 to 7 for the Nashville SC pre-match party at the Hard Rock Cafe downtown. Party before the match on Broadway and get some game swag, plus register to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game, then head on over to Nissan Stadium for the 7:30 match. Get your tickets now for Nashville SC at NashvilleSC.com and tune into the match on ESPN 94.9. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Now, it's one thing to want to go to the SEC, but how much do you think the SEC would really want Texas and Oklahoma to actually join the conference?
I think they would want them for a couple of reasons, and the first is the most obvious. They don't want them going anywhere else. I mean, the SEC became the biggest guy on the street because they went out and picked very well, and they have such a serious and passionate fan base. But if you're the commissioner of the SEC, Greg Sankey, do you want Texas and Oklahoma going to the Big Ten or the ACC or someone else and suddenly start challenging your position as king of the hill? So I think that's a big motivating factor.
There you go. Feinbaum laying it out there. It is done. By the way, how about this? How dirty did the SEC do A&M?
Oh, if I'm A&M, I'm furious.
Oh, they are furious.
I'm sure they are.
Here's the problem.
They don't care.
The SEC did them dirty. And that's what's crazy is I'm starting to add things up in my head, right? So let's work backwards. We know that Texas and Oklahoma are going to officially join the SEC next week. The vote will be 13-1. The one team that will vote against it is A&M. Also, solid backbone there, Missouri. I mean, really standing by your principles.
Yeah.
So now we know that. The news was broken, I believe, on Wednesday. By maybe it was Tuesday. It was whatever day A&M went. It was broken by an A&M beat reporter, and the A&M athletic director was just magically available at SEC Media Days to answer questions about it. Okay. So my guess is A&M found out right then and there. That was when A&M found out. Was
on
that
Tuesday?
Day. Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever day it was that this came out.
I kind of think they knew before.
I don't think they did.
Why would the AD be there?
No. I think that they probably wanted the AD there so they could let him know, hey, this is what we're doing.
Okay.
Where Sankey and the other, that's... So right in the middle of SEC Media Days and in the middle of Hoover, that kind of thing. Nick Saban, I believe, spoke Wednesday at SEC Media Days. Nick Saban on Tuesday announced to the Texas High School Coaches Association that his quarterback, Bryce Young, had been offered $1 million in name, image, and likeness. I don't think that's an accident.
No.
Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC, has been one of the leaders on these subcommittees of committees to push for 12 teams in the college football playoff. I don't think that's an accident. Remember, one of the discussions was you could get three SEC teams into the playoff if you were to have 12 teams. Well, now you've got 16 SEC teams. I think it's pretty likely you're going to have three SEC teams in the playoffs. These guys are freaking conniving at the end of the day. I mean, these guys are, you think the government's shady. The SEC, I mean, they are.
I mean, they're just sleazy politicians that wear different hats.
So the SEC is going to sit in the back room and count their money, right? Like, mm-hmm. They're going to count their money just like rich people do. What do you think a Saturday is going to be like 5 years from now? Players are getting paid, transfer portal, name, image, and likeness. College football playoff has 12 teams, so you can lose a game and it'd be okay. And there's four super conferences. Do you think you're going to be more drawn to conferences you don't care about, like the ACC, like the Pac-12? Or do you think you're going to be less drawn? Are you going to be more drawn to a big Alabama game when there's not as many playoff implications or as many divisional implications? Or are you going to be less drawn? The pageantry of college football, in my opinion, is over. The pageantry of the tradition and the athletes and the, you're going to like your school, but I think it's headed the route of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball wants to expand the playoffs. Well, what's that going to do the regular season? Like, it's bad enough now that a Tuesday night game doesn't matter. A Tuesday night game in May between the Angels and the Astros doesn't mean anything. But now if everybody makes the playoffs like in the NBA, then those games really don't mean anything. But the owners will get to sit there and count their money. And I worry that's where college football is headed. I mean, I think Nick Saban was not far off when he was against the playoff for this reason, that it would devalue winning the SEC. Now it feels like everything is devalued because of this.
I am anti-playoff expansion and anti-conference realignment. However, I have to argue with you because I think conference championships mean that much more now. Because now, the way it stands, if you win your conference championship, okay, cool, good for you. It doesn't mean anything. With this 12-team playoff, if Alabama wins the SEC, they get a first-round bye in the playoffs, and that's huge. Mm-hmm. I think also adding more teams into the conference makes regular season that much more important because your conference championship chances are much lower now that there are more teams. So I think that this actually makes regular season games and conference championships that much more important. I'm still against it. Well, okay, because
I'm skeptical because I feel like adding more does not make it more important.
It does if you play one more game and your odds at getting to the conference championship are that much slimmer.
Like, I'll compare it to this. What sport has the most meaningless regular season of all the major American pro sports?
Major League Baseball.
Why?
Because there are so many of them and everyone gets in the playoffs.
Okay. Which one is the most important regular season of all the pro sports in America?
Probably the NFL.
Okay, why?
Because there are fewer games.
Okay. I can't see how the argument for more is going to make it better because it hasn't across any other
sport. The NFL is still playing more games than they are in college football. They're playing 17 games.
Sure, but the NFL is very, very slow at adding. They add one game, they add one playoff spot, and I get it, and I don't love it. I mean, I'm okay with the 17th game because it's, you know, an extra week of our show getting to talk about stuff. But I just feel as if, like, more is never good enough. I didn't like the second wild card in baseball. I liked how in baseball it was 162. You win your division, you get that one wild card. If not, TS. And I look at this and I just think that there's no way. I understand what you're saying. And I don't have a particular reason in my heart to shoot it down other than the fact that I have never seen where more is better in sports.
But you also look at the MLB. There are 34 teams.
I think there are 30, I think there are 30.
30-something teams.
I think there's 30.
And how many regular season games? 100-something?
162.
162. College football has 300 teams.
No, college football has 64 teams now.
That's still more than the MLB. And they still play fewer games. So I understand your argument about how more is not always better, but you can't look at
how many
like
of
apples
these,
and oranges.
How many of these 64 teams matter? Let's go through it. Because what we did earlier today in the show was we put Baylor and Kansas into the Big Ten. We put TCU, Oklahoma State, Houston, and Kansas State into the Pac-12. And we put West Virginia and Notre Dame in the ACC. How many of these schools matter? You tell me, you stop me at a school that doesn't matter. We'll do it on the other side. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Plus, I got the five things about this that now I'm kind of intrigued but still really bother me about college football. We'll get to that coming up as well. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 1025 The Game, Fireball Hot Take Friday. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app.